from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
What are we doing this weekend? It's Fresh Fridays in the beginning of Memorial Day weekend. I need to know, what are you doing? I'm nosy. I want to know. 888-973-CHIRO. Text in. Let me know. Get me through the show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. I want to thank all of our listeners who are texting in. Also, not just about the big story of the day, but also texting in with their recipes for Memorial Day weekend. One of my favorites, Councilman Ian Yelm, sent his favorite brisket.
Yeah, you know what,
menu,
though?
Yes.
He actually had some good ideas for the recipe.
Yes.
All you folks that do the smoking of the briskets and stuff, send me some secrets now. Send some secrets. But I'm looking forward to having our next guest in, because I also want to ask her a couple other questions that are outside of the serious topics, because we have an opportunity to have her. And I just want to let her know she's family. She's one of my favorites.
Yes, absolutely. And Mickey Gomez is our friend and our colleague. And if you guys were listening earlier in the week, Mickey shared her heart because Uvalde is your...
Well, it was my backyard.
Yes, exactly. In your backyard. You lived in Texas for many years. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for joining us again.
You're welcome.
It's been an especially rough week. You had found out that several of your relatives were in the hospital. How are they doing?
So they were my cousin's cousins. So we call them extended family.
Yes.
And we have such a big family down in Texas. And they are from Uvalde. And I don't know how they're doing. I know that they are safe. And to quote my first cousin, Xavier, he says that their mental recovery for the kiddos is going to be the hardest part. How are we going to get through this?
And that is a question that a lot of parents are asking. Mm-hmm. There in
Uvalde.
Mm-hmm. And also parents just asking in general, how do we talk to our kids about this? And I know that that is something really difficult. And you have children. How have you spoken with your children about this?
Well, we've been honest about them. We haven't hid anything. And my kids, they ask questions. They're smart kids. My son said last night, he said, "Mom, I want you to know that if we have an active gunman in our school, I will fight." Mm-hmm. And I just thought, oh my God, like, these are the things that you're thinking about? Like, you're not thinking about science. You're not thinking about cute girls or cute guys. You're not thinking about your favorite songs. Mm-hmm. No, he's thinking about, if we have an active shooter, he said, we're going to lock the door. And then if a shooter comes through, I'm going to pick up the biggest chair and I'm going to knock him down with it. And I just thought, darling, that's not your job.
Yeah.
This town that you're from, this mm-hmm. being, you've already been in your backyard.
Yeah. So I'm from Austin originally, lived in San Antonio for 6 years.
Which is not
Uvalde
far.
It's where my wife worked. You know, she worked there in Uvalde. So we say backyard because mm-hmm. it's like right there.
Mm-hmm. Here soon, mm-hmm. at some point, mm-hmm. the news is going to be off this topic.
Right.
The national media, even our show, we will not be talking about what's going on down there. Give us a window into the type of town and how long probably this will impact this community. What's it like? Because once we stop talking about it, mm-hmm. what will continue? Because I know you told me you plan on going back, not now, but in August.
Right. So we're thinking about going back to because we feel helpless.
Okay.
We feel so much guilt because we left our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not there to fight with them. And when I mean fight, like donate, rally, be there for families, cook dinner, clean houses, just watch family, children, things like that. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of guilt. And but we know if we were to go to Texas now to be there with our people, that it would be too much.
Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people there right now.
There's a lot of people right there and right now. And I thought, you know what? Let's go back when the dust settles. Let's go back when the media is gone. Let's go back when everyone has moved on and forgotten about it. because that's when the community is going to need us the most. Uvalde is a very small town. Wealthy people don't live in Uvalde. And I don't mean like, you know, millionaires don't go and say, hey, you know what? I want to retire in Uvalde. No, it's a very small middle class town, lower to middle class town. Okay. A lot of Tejanos. Tejanos? Those are
Mexican.
Texas. So those are Mexican Americans who were born and raised in Texas who will tell you that we're just Tejanos.
Okay. I never knew that. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we are Texans who are tied to a Mexican ancestry.
Okay.
So a lot of Tejanos. I think median income, because I used to program stations there, is about 20 to 21,000. You don't have wealthy people. You've got hardworking Americans working there, hardworking Texans who have farms, you know.
And I know that you were watching the news conference today. And for people who missed it, earlier this morning, the director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, Steve McGraw, was leading this press conference. And it was intense.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of back and forth with the reporters at this press conference. And at the time, he admitted that law enforcement made a mistake by not breaching the classroom sooner. So he was laying out the timeline and trying to answer questions as to why it took so long. At least two students who survived the attack had called 911 during the shootings. Apparently, a teacher also called for help. But despite those calls, McGraw said the on-scene commander believed this was just a barricaded, not just, but it was a barricaded suspect situation instead of an active shooter situation, which they're trained to do different things, and believed that there were no kids at risk.
If I thought it would help, I would apologize. Okay. But let me say this.
Hold on.
When you go back to the timeline, again, I want to go back, and I'm not defending anything, but you go back to the timeline, there was a barrage. Hundreds of rounds were pumped in 4 minutes, okay, into those two classrooms. Then anything else, any firing afterwards was sporadic, and it was at the door. So the belief is that there may not be anybody living anymore, and that the subject is now trying to keep law enforcement at bay or entice them to come in to suicide by contact. I understand that. I've reported that.
And he also revealed that the 18-year-old shooter had more than 1,000 rounds of ammo and had fired more than 100 times during the killing spree. You watched the whole thing. Mm-hmm. What stood out to you?
The fact that they were wrong. The fact that he said mistakes were made. You know, the fact that he said it was wrong not to breach the classroom door. That broke my heart. I cried. I've seen the video. I wish I hadn't watched it, but I saw it. And it was the video of the parents pleading with the police to let them through. And then I listened to that press conference. I will say he took some serious heat. Mm-hmm. And he broke down. I think I appreciated that when he broke down, I broke down. Mm-hmm. I'm angry. Today I'm angry. I'm sad and I'm angry. I'm infuriated. I'm raged with just so much anger. This is why we left Texas. This is exactly why we left Texas. When that law passed, we knew we had to get the hell out of there because we were targets. Our family, interracial, our family, LGBTQ, our family, I'm a woman of color, our family, we're non-traditional. Anyone can open carry in Texas, not have to have a license, can get a gun. When that happened, we said, we're gone.
Mickey, what was your final straw? What happened? What's a specific story, something that happened to you that made you and your wife and said, you know what, we're getting our kids, we're out of here?
The gun law.
That was the final straw?
That was the final. The first one was they're going after the LGBTQIA community. They're going after the trans community. And even though our daughter is she, her, and she was born she, her, you look at her, she's got very short hair. She's a tomboy. You know, a lot of people called her he. And if we corrected, they would look at us sideways.
Mm-hmm.
So that was number one. Then the final straw was when the gun laws passed. We thought, okay, let's just go to Seattle for 6 months. My wife took a temporary position. But then the governor signed the anti-abortion law. And we said, oh, we're not going back. So we literally paid people to move our our home and put it all in storage, and we decided to stay here full time.
That is the voice of Mickey Gomez. You can hear Mickey Gomez. He does our traffic here on Cairo Radio from 3 to 7 every single day here on these airwaves. One more for you. You moved from there, and I moved from Chicago and in areas in Chicago, and sometimes there have been times where people say, "Oh, I bet you're glad you moved." And me, I never had that, whew, glad I moved. I never had that. Actually, it's actually the opposite. There's actually like this sense of almost guilt, almost feel like, do you ever get that feeling right now since we've been talking about all of this?
Yes, I feel guilty that we didn't stay to fight, to vote. I mean, I have guilt. I have guilt today. Even my wife told me yesterday when she was at work, and I feel like she was breaking down at work, and she had a really hard time, and she said, I want to go. I just want to go back. We love San Antonio. We loved the people of Uvalde. She loved working there at cancer centers of Uvalde, and it's no longer there. It closed its doors because there wasn't enough money. The pandemic hit. It's not a wealthy town. You drive through that town, and it has a Walmart, has a small hospital. But the people there are just incredible, loving.
Sense that.
And so there is guilt. I feel so guilty.
I can't tell you how you should feel. Mm-hmm. You feel how you're going to feel, but I wish you wouldn't feel guilty, because that's what we do to ourselves. And I, just in the short time I've known you, I know you have an incredible heart. And
thank you.
And you're always looking around, how can I help? How can I help? And I know that is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you are helping by sharing your story, sharing it very openly.
Mm-hmm.
It takes courage, because you're sharing a lot of things that some people may not feel comfortable with. And I know that you've also reached out and you've looked into ways that people can help.
Yes. So the GoFundMes, there are GoFundMes. And I'm really happy that the community has been sharing the GoFundMes. I have two, one for Amory Jo Garza, which somehow or another I can get to you if you want it.
Well, we actually put some links on our Facebook
good.
Page.
Okay, yeah, because I gave them to Chef.
Yes,
I sent them to Chef.
So we've put them there because I know a lot of people are saying, how can we help?
Yes.
How can we help those families?
You can donate to both GoFundMes. You can also donate to the Uvalde School District. I sent that as well. And I'm really happy that people are donating, because, you know, the money that they have right now, $90,000, you know, $100,000, that's more money than they've ever seen. And they're going to need that money not to go buy big screen TVs, not to go buy big trucks, but because they're going to need it for mental health. Mental health is not cheap. And they're going to need it because they're not going back to work anytime soon.
Sadly, they're going to need it for funeral expenses, too.
And funerals are not cheap either. So I want to say one last thing. Even though I feel guilty for leaving our family and community behind, I'm not going to risk my children's safety. So there's guilt, but there's also relief. I do feel relief being here. Good. I know we have crime here. I know we do. But we don't have a governor like that. And so I am happy to be here.
Well, we are happy that you're here. You do a tremendous job.
Thank you.
For us. And I'm just sorry that your family has been impacted by this as well. And I appreciate you sharing and being so open.
And, you know, it hasn't been as impacted as the people of Uvalde. And but we know people, and people who know people. And
like you said, it's family.
It's family.
Extended family.
It is family. It's extended family. And it hurts deeply. And I don't know what the answer is, Jeep.
Well, what we get?
Well, no one has the answer. We're hoping that by having these conversations, that we don't always just go back to our camps and say, well, it's not my problem. It's all of our collective problem. And I think we really do need to open our eyes and say there are things that we have points of agreement that could be acted upon right now. And we need to do that.
Before you go, got a couple minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this whole segment to be down. I want to go up a little bit. What you doing this weekend? What you doing?
We're doing some mental health recovery this weekend.
Okay.
You know?
You and your family? Okay, good.
Tonight we're going on a dinner date. The kids have the nanny. And then tomorrow, movies. We're just sitting in the living room, popcorn, movies with the kids, and just spending time with
good
them.
Good for you.
Good for you.
If it was warmer,
What would you be doing?
We'd go to the lake.
I promise it's going to get warmer. I know you haven't been here to see a Seattle summer.
I got
a Puget Sound summer. The best.
Okay.
Hey, Mickey, I got a friend that has a pool. You know what I mean? No, listen. She's got a private pool.
Wait. Yeah. No, I don't. It's not in my backyard. No. I belong to a club that has a pool.
Yeah.
And I keep offering invitations. She hasn't taken me up, but would you do it?
I will. As a matter of fact, Saturday morning, my swim team is swimming in Lake Washington. So that we're doing that Saturday morning.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You was just going to leave that out? Hold up.
Oh, well,
Wait.
Your swim team?
Your swim team?
Yes.
Explain.
So I used to be a triathlete. I broke my leg. I haven't done it in a long time. I'm trying to get back into it. And we swim. So we open water swim. So we'll be doing that 8:30 in the morning on Saturday.
You used to be a triathlete.
Yes, I did.
See, this is why you got to come on the show. Because I'm nosy. I need to ask about what you've been doing.
Well, I love it. There's one more thing. I wasn't a triathlete, but I was on our high school swim team. Does that count?
It does count.
I didn't know that.
Come on out.
100 breaststroke was my event.
Can y'all,
50 free, 100 free, 100 breaststroke.
Can y'all do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can y'all teach me how to swim?
No.
Yes.
No.
Wait. Mickey.
Mm-mm.
Why?
Well, I'm going to teach him how
you're
to
gonna,
swim,
you're
and
teach
I'm going to teach Tom Tenney how to drive.
I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. I love you, G.
Yeah.
But if you just seem real like, nah, that's not how you do it. Nah, Mickey, that ain't right.
I'll do it.
I ain't got time for that.
I'll do it because I figured out how to work with him.
Okay, there you go.
Wow. First of all, Mickey, you're 100% right. And second of all, Ursula knows how to get to me.
Okay.
She's right.
I'll give you a buoy. We'll be all right.
Really, try. Okay, the next time you come on, we got to find out about that.
Okay.
And how long y'all going to be swimming out there?
It's probably a 40-minute swim.
Wait, real quick. You swim for 40 minutes?
So 20 minutes out, 20 minutes back.
So nonstop?
We stop a couple of times just to catch our breath, and then we keep going. But we're constantly moving in the water, yes.
Oh, wait, when you say you stop, you hold on to something or you tread water?
No, we just tread water.
Ooh-wee! I can't do it!
See, that's why I can't take you out.
Thank you, Mickey.
You're welcome, love.
You. Hey, coming up next, it's time for Agree to Disagree. It's G and Ursula.
It is 11:34. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. We're going to do an abbreviated version of Agree to Disagree, and we're going to do that right now.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
And Agree to Disagree is brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters. Hey, before we head out into this wonderful, glorious three-day weekend, first of all, I wanted to wish everyone a safe, peaceful Memorial Day. Enjoy time with your friends and family. But if you're anything like me, you might be feeling a little stressed right now. You got a lot of things to take care of before you head out. Car to pack, kids to take care of, the dog to drop off at the kennel there. And what day are you actually coming on? We're going camping. And I have a little bit of a beef to pick personally because I did not plan this weekend. And we will be gone from tomorrow through Monday for a three-day weekend, coming back on Tuesday. Now, G.
Coming back to work on Tuesday.
Coming back to work on Tuesday, correct. I am a fan of what is known as the buffer day, a day off from your vacation before you come back to work. So I am a little bit peeved, and it might be the pre-travel stress talking, but am I a little bit peeved that we're going to be returning on Monday night? G, if you have a three-day weekend and you have some travel plans, should you travel all three of those days or take the last day off just to recover?
When you talk to Gabby next, tell her she's a rookie. Mm-mm. I don't know why she decided to schedule you guys to come back on Monday. You always, always have that buffer day. You start your weekend now, Friday. It's going to hurt a little bit. I know it will, but you make that sacrifice. You start it now. Start it right now. Then you got Saturday. Then you got Sunday. And then if you're going to have a barbecue or something at your house, like I'm going to have some folks over at the house, I'm doing it on Sunday. Not Monday, but Sunday. And then on Monday, Lily and I will sit down and be like, what you want to do. Well, we already got tickets for Top Gun Maverick, so we already got that scheduled. Then if there's some people having a barbecue, we can slide through for a minute, get a plate to go, make an appearance, and get on up out of there and head on to the house. You got to have that buffer day, Ursula.
No. Gabby, if you're listening, you did a great job planning.
Rookie.
I'm 100% with you. Because I know, as a mom who's probably in charge of most of the packing and doing everything while chef's complaining about
wait,
your
wait,
planning.
Why is mom?
You are making some gender assumptions.
Why is mom always in charge?
Because he just said she's planned it. Packing right now. I see where Chef is. I think this wasn't. I'm speaking
aware.
Specifically.
Dang it.
To Gabby. Thanks. Nice try. But in any case, you're already going to be going to this place. It takes so long to pack, get everything together. It's going to be probably 2 hours later than you originally planned. You're going to be stuck in traffic. My feeling is I'm going to milk that vacation as long as I can. I'm going to stay there as long as I can, even if it means I lose a little sleep going into Tuesday.
Hey.
Why? Because I don't want to spend my whole thing with vacations, and especially if you're going camping. I'm not a camping expert. I will say that, nor is G. But
that's been established.
But if I'm going on a vacation, mm-hmm. I'm taking all that time, and let's just say if you're going not camping but on a vacation,
right?
I'm going to squeeze as much time I can on the vacation, and then you know what? Enjoy all of it, and then there's going to be a little bit of pain. It's like ripping that Band-Aid. I'm going to have the little bit of pain, and I'll come back on Tuesday. A little tired.
I got receipts.
What's that?
Do you remember the time that you and Sharon was coming back?
Yes.
And you had to hit up Chris Sullivan because you was worried about where to go.
But what happened?
Was it traffic?
Yeah, but what happened? Yeah, it was snow.
It was traffic. Snow. You tried to rush back.
Yes.
On one of them holiday days.
But you know what? That little bit of extra stress was so worth that extra time in Leavenworth. You kidding me?
Okay. So you hit exactly my key point there. Stress. And first of all, let me defend my wife because, one, I signed up for this.
Yes.
I agreed to this. This is not her fault at all. And by the way, she planned this with a friend, but I signed up, so I can't put this on Gabby. But I think there's two ways of thinking about vacation. Hmm. One is that you are maximizing your joy in the amount of time that you spend on vacation.
Yes.
And the other perspective is that you need to minimize the stress around the travel and the turnaround and the packing and the unpacking. And some of us mentally, it is a tinderbox. If I know that I got to squeeze in all the packing up into one day, all the travel back, all the return home, taking everything out of the car, getting the cranky kids out after they've been spending 3 hours in the car, and then I got to prep the show the night before. Ursula, you are advocating for me to have a vacation hangover on Tuesday and not show up at my 100%.
Did I hear you say a weekend of Tinder? Is that what you said? It'd be a Tinder? Like getting on the Tinder dating app? Or you said Tinder box? What'd you say?
No. I think...
I don't know what I said. I'm so worked up right now.
You heard that lingo gets kind of messed up. I know what you're saying.
You heard him say Tinder.
Yeah.
No, he's not on Tinder.
I didn't know because
that's a whole squeezing a date.
That is a whole other conversation.
Now, if it was a Tinder date, then you come back on Monday because you want to maximize the time away.
No, I... The only reason why I might avoid driving on Monday is because Monday is going to be horrible on the roads. But if I'm flying somewhere, I'm just going to go ahead and squeeze out all the time I can in that destination.
Okay, this was basically my long way of saying, expect nothing of me on Monday night. Expect less of me on Tuesday morning. So we're going to have a lot of light topics on Tuesday. Okay. Not real newsy. We got to get over our vacation hangover with some great topics.
Here's the good news. I'm not going anywhere, so I'll prep for you.
Yeah, and I just want you guys to know that...
I'll take you up on that. Yes, and thank you.
Oh. Ursula, what you going to be doing all weekend?
Relaxing, getting ready.
Is Long Live Mark going?
Long Live Mark's going to be with me. We're going to go out with my friends, Tracy and Mark, for Tracy's birthday weekend.
Okay.
We're going to go to a wonderful restaurant on the east side, so we're
going
to do that.
What restaurant are you going to?
Carmine's.
Ooh, yes. Now, that's a good one, boy. That Carmine, shout out to Carmine's in Bellevue. That right there. Ooh-wee.
Tracy's choice.
Of course, Tracy picked that.
Then I'm going to, well, it's her birthday. And then I'm just going to enjoy. They are the. I want to pay. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So if you go out with people on their birthday.
Yeah.
Don't.
That's a good agree to disagree.
That's a good agree to. The couple. So if there's two couples going. So in this case, Long Live Mark and Ursula are going with Tracy and her husband. What's her husband's name?
Mark.
His name is Mark too?
Yes.
Wow.
LLM okay. squared.
So you got Ursula and Mark, Long Live Mark, going out with Tracy and Mark. It's Tracy's birthday. They're going to Carmine's. Who should pay the bill?
I'll tell you what's happened in the past because she always picks amazing restaurants.
I know Tracy would be the one to pay the bill if it was the opposite.
There's a very easy answer to this. You know who pays?
If it were me, on my birthday, I would pay the bill.
So I'm saying this. We're going to find out next week. Ursula, did you guys pay the bill? Tracy, if you're listening, Ursula needs to pay the bill.
I think
you're right.
Mark pays.
No.
No, Ursula pays. You want to know why?
It's Friday.
Just get paid. That's right. All right.
Feel a little spendy over there.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, your text messages, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Text messages have come in, and I got to tell you, first of all, let me just say this. Your text messages throughout the show really helped me all day long. Even the negative ones, y'all fun. Some of y'all, I know your names. You're cool. I don't even hit you with the bless your hearts anymore. Ursula, you want to start us off?
Yes, and we're going to obviously start off with the latest on Uvalde, Texas. And this comes from Rob, our friend, the retired Puyallup police officer. As a school resource officer, I decided to switch to a 9mm handgun so I'd be carrying more ammo with me because I knew I might be alone at a scene for a while. I was also a firearms instructor, so I knew the tactics and techniques. I taught them. Over the years, I responded to several active shooter calls, none at schools, thankfully. And every time, we grouped up and went to the threat quickly.
206 says they were fighting with two shot rifles and flintlock pistols. The Constitution did not address semi-automatic and AR-15s. Outlaw them.
360 says, first, I love the show, even if I only agree with maybe 10% of your viewpoints. Oh, I am a believer in our Constitution and own more firearms than I probably need. I agree that we should make it more difficult for people to buy firearms. I challenge you to take your conversation on this topic one further. If you really want to make a change, we need tougher punishment for crimes. I believe that. Criminals do not fear the consequences of the criminal actions. Also, our jails have become more of a restore than a place of tough life. The fact is, you're never going to take away my guns, but you can make punishment for killing people something that a person fears. Life for a life. I suggest we start by requiring a license to own a firearm.
Ursula, if you shoot somebody in this country, are you going to get punished?
Yes.
So...
yes. But it doesn't always start with a shooting. It starts earlier. A lot of times, this doesn't even address what happened here. This is an 18-year-old who bought AR-15s right after he turned 18.
Kobe says, dear politicians, consider for one second, what if 18-year-olds were not allowed to purchase assault-style guns? Or what if there were federal waiting periods? Or what if there were stricter background checks? Or what if there were red flag rules that notify officials when erratic firearm and ammo purchases are made? Or what if we did anything other than make excuses as to reasons to do nothing? Maddening.
We're going to go on to midlife crises. 206 says getting that senior mag as soon as you turn 50 was depressing till you see people in their 50s like J-Lo.
Exactly.
425 says new boobs? Oh. No. Oh, am I not allowed to say that?
Okay, breasts. Go ahead.
No. Travel and time with my family. The girls, quote, have long gone south. So now it's my turn.
I'm going to agree with a lot of that. No travel time with family. I love that. Shauna says, I am a woman who started powerlifting, kayaking, and cycling when I turned 50. I'd never exercised in my life. I turned 56 next week. I'm happier and healthier than I've ever been. Shauna, you are my inspiration.
Ken in the 206 says, G and Ursula, I am now 75 years old. My midlife event was becoming a law enforcement officer after retiring from higher education. I'm now contemplating a new profession. Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Okay, I want to go to Tell Me Something Good. You started off the show saying, tell me something good. Jim in Tacoma says, here's something good, G. This weekend is my wife Lisa and my 18-year wedding anniversary, and we genuinely still love spending time with each other. LOL. We are each other's best friends. Happy Fresh Friday, crew.
I lost my train of thought in the text line. Go ahead. You want to read another one, Ursula?
Yes. 206 says, here you go, G. Some good news. After years and years of trying to have a baby, my friend's daughter was born through surrogacy yesterday. She's beautiful. They're beyond thrilled. Have a fantastic weekend.
Well, Ursula, it's now time for that awesome Words to Live By.
Brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
Yeah, there it is.
And I don't know who to credit for this, but this is wonderful. Open your eyes to the beauty around you. Open your mind to the wonders of life. Open your heart to those who love you. And always, always be true to yourself.
I don't want my truck anymore. I don't even drive it hardly anymore.
I'm a man truck. I need to get out in four wheel, baby.
Also, you know what else I did? Midlife crisis? Head on up to Edmonds. Absolute.
Oh.
That's right.
I'm back.
You're gonna never live that one down.
Sure about that?
Well, grab that one. Grab that sound right. Nick, what you got, man?
Oh man, I was just gonna say I'm getting goosebumps a little bit earlier talking about midlife crises in the show. Believe me, I'm in no rush to get to that point in my life right now. I can sit back and wait. But gee, Ursula, I'm hoping you know you're fixed to fight the senior scaries now rather than later. I don't care if it's a car, a downstairs bar, an electric guitar, or even making changes to your body that might be bizarre. And you know what I mean saying that. We need you for the fans, guys. Got to figure out a way to stay young. I know after a nice restful holiday weekend, we'll bounce back. And I hope the fans have a nice, safe holiday weekend as well.
Yes, enjoy your weekend. And Nick, your poetry did not go unnoticed. Good job there, young man.
Appreciate it. Young man.
What?
I'm midlife, I guess.
Ursula,
young man.
Ursula, you hit it with the young man.
Come on.
What comes after young man?
It's yes, ma'am.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, we're on a roll. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. The Dory Monson Show is coming up next. Stay with us.
Ursula, Chef Nick, I can't think of a better way to spend my everyday than with you. And then you listening, can't imagine doing it with anybody else other than you. Have a safe weekend. We appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be kind.
Hope you had as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.